morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of communion. And a huge welcome to you if you're here, if you're here for the first time, and for those of you who are here online, welcome. The children will be going out partway through the service. There will be communion. If you're here for the first time, don't worry, somebody will show you what to do. And there is gluten-free wafers and alcohol-free wine. And that will all be explained later on in the service. There have been some notices rolling as you've arrived. There's lots around about what's going on for the Christmas services. And if you want to sign up to get an email every week about what's going on in the church, then do go to the website and click the button called Connect. And that will give you what you need. So let's just take a moment to be quiet and to arrive. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Just take a moment before we sing in silence to think about how you're feeling this morning. What are you carrying that feels heavy? What do you need to put down just for this hour? Our focus this morning is going to be on Psalm 30, and I just want to read the reassuring verses at the beginning of Psalm 30 from the Message. I give you all the credit, God. You got me out of that mess. You didn't let my foes gloat. God, my God, I yelled for help and you put me together. God, you pulled me out of the grave, gave me another chance at life when I was down and out. I love that that's in the past tense. But some of us feel like that's where we are today, that we feel we're in a mess. And I just invite you to do what you need to do in this service to receive God's love and God's joy. So we're going to begin by singing Hallelujah, Your Love is Amazing.
Our young people would like to come and have an instrument or dance around. I don't know if there's any plans. Anyway, do come and thank us. Right, this is a really well-known song, which we haven't sung for a long time, so let's get up on our feet and get ready to rejoice that God's love is amazing, steady and unchanging.
Thank you.
such an amazing God. And it's such a wonderful thing to be here in this special place and be able to lift your name in praise this morning. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' precious name. Do you know what? All these young people are having such a wonderful time. I think we need to play one more chorus, don't you? Yeah.
You what gives you joy, and you have to make a noise, and your noise will make the joy meter move. Okay, so I'm going to start. The World Cup. Well, I think that's an answer. Off you go, everybody, that way. We had no joy there. Shall I give them another chance now they've worked out what they're doing? I'll give you another chance. The World Cup. Where do you reckon, team? Middle. Okay. Brussels sprouts. Ooh. Middle. Autumn leaves crunching under your feet. Come on, guys. Great. Right, well, thank you very much. So we all have joy for different reasons. Thank you very much indeed. We all have different joy for different reasons. And my most joyful thing is a surprise. It's a potato. This is the potato of joy. So I've just come back from walking 600 kilometres across Spain, which is about like walking from here to Dundee, Google tells me. Anyway. No, so you don't need to do that. There is a reason for this story, okay? So one day, every day we didn't get lunch. So we'd have breakfast at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and then we'd have a second breakfast as soon as we found a cafe. And then we didn't eat again until the evening, and that was okay. But I have to tell you, when you've climbed mountains for 15 miles, you kind of are a bit hungry. So one day, we arrived at a hostel because lots of people had told us we should go to this hostel. So we arrived at the hostel at 10 to 2, and that was our 15 miles done for the day because it was very hot, so we left very, very early. And the end towards the hostel was up. And there were lots of people. So on this pilgrimage that I did, you couldn't book where you were going to stay mostly, so you just had to turn up and hope there was a bed. So we turned up at this place and said, "Have you got a bed?" And they said, "Yes, we've got beds for the four of you." There were four of us. That gave me joy. And then we said, "Can we book in?" And they said, "No." That did not give me joy. Because you think, why don't you let us book in? They spoke Spanish, we spoke English. So there was a bit of a language thing. But they said, "No, come." So we followed them, and we ended up on a sunny terrace, told to sit at trestle tables with benches. And there turned out to be about 30 people at these trestle tables. And they said lunch. Well, that was joyful because we didn't get lunch. So we sat at these trestle tables and they brought us a 3-course lunch. No money. 3-course lunch, no menu, no charge, just a 3-course lunch. And we sat down and we ate a lot of lettuce and tomato. Because actually, if you're going to stretch your meal, like we're having Sunday lunch today, many of us, if you're going to stretch your meal, it has to be cheap and spreadable. Wine. Potato stew with a little bit of meat. And can I tell you, that potato stew was joy on a plate. And I put in my blog, today for lunch, we had joy on a plate. Because we weren't expecting lunch. And isn't it amazing when we get given something that we're not expecting and that we don't deserve? So amazing, we were given it and we were so thankful. And later on in the day, we were asked to go to the pilgrim room, because we were called pilgrims on our walk. And they would tell us a little bit about why they did what they did. And it turned out that this place had been set up by a priest in the 1980s because he wanted to share the love of God. But they didn't say that. But you could feel it and you could see it and you could sense it. So being joyful matters, and we get joy in really unexpected places. So I'm hoping the children are going to get joy now when you go out to your groups. So just before you go, let's pray for you and for your leaders. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you give us joy in unexpected places. And we really pray that this morning the children will find joy and be great and be thankful in the places that they are and in the things that they learn about you. We pray for joy and thankfulness for their leaders, and we are thankful for them. And we pray that we would find joy and thankfulness here as we listen to what you have to say to us. Amen. So children, off you go. As they are leaving, why don't you just, if you are sociable and also like talking to people, you could just tell the person next to you what gives you joy today. But you don't have to, because that might not give you joy. To stand now, and we will confess our sins together. Please stand. I'll say the words in yellow, and if you'd like to join with me in the words in white. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you, Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you, by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins, and make us holy to serve him in the world,
through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as forgiven people, let's remain standing and sing Mighty to Save.
Says in that song, you take us as you find us with all of our fears and all of our failures. Thank you, Lord. And now we sing a song of praise to you because you are a God of miracles. Thank you.
please sit down. Joan's going to come up now and lead us in our intercessions, and then Nick will do the reading.
So let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your promise to hear us as we bring our prayers to you, whether that be the concerns of the world or our country or the concerns of our hearts. Lord, we do pray for our government in the midst of this turmoil and uncertainty. And we pray for wisdom, and we pray for honesty and fairness in every decision that is made. And we pray too for those relationships with world leaders. And we just thank you that they can talk together and form relationships, and maybe out of that, good things will come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the church worldwide. At the moment, the Bishop of Worcester is in Peru with a group of people, encouraging them and learning from their situation. May you bless that time apart, O Lord. And we think too of Ben and Katie in Tanzania. And we pray for the family in Bangkok, and for the Englishes in the Czech Republic, and for the Ukraine believers. Lord, there are those who are suffering persecution, who are living in situations that we cannot hardly believe about. Pour your love in on those in these places, whether they be under persecution or in a situation of war or in a situation of being flooded. We pray too for the church here at St Andrews, for Dave and the PCC members, as they gather together and look and discuss our future. Lord, we thank you for the children and their leaders here, sharing their faith with enthusiasm and with joy. Lord, be with them. Lord, in your name, hear our prayer. You have blessed us, and we pray that we would pass on that blessing to those who are struggling. We thank you for the food bank, for CAP, for street pastors, for the Octagon Pantry, for the Well Counselling Service. We thank you for those whose ministries lie there and the resources and skills that they provide for that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who are suffering in body, mind or spirit. Many are in pain. Many are worried. Perhaps they're waiting treatment. And we pray for those who care for them and for their families. And we think of those people that are on the prayer chain at the moment. And in a quiet moment for ourselves, can we bring to the Lord people that we know need your presence because of that situation?
Lord, we pray for those who mourn. In the remembrance service last week, we thought about all kinds of people that we've known in the past. Lord, for those who still mourn, grant them your peace. In faith, we believe that you hear us. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
So we're reading from Psalm 30, which I'd encourage you to find on page 558 of your church Bible. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths, and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favour lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my waiting into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. And my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Tristan's going to come and expand God's word to us, so let's just pray for Tristan as he comes. Lord, thank you for Tristan and the words that you've spoken to him as he's been preparing what he's going to say to us this week. We pray for ourselves as we listen that you would give us insight and discernment into what is for us and what you want us to hear in our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Please forgive me if I sound a little rough. The cold that's going around has caught up with me and I'm rather fuzzy-headed. It's not COVID. I tested this morning. It's definitely not COVID. But it's left me a little bit bleary, so bear with me. This is the last session then in our mini-series on praying the Psalms. Next week, if you can believe it, is the start of Advent. This all comes around a bit quickly, doesn't it? But so we didn't cover the first session of the Psalms thing in this 10:30 service, but the three themes we've had so far have been praise at all times from Psalm 34, rest in weary times from Psalm 62, and strength in troubled times from Psalm 46. And this week we're looking at, if you hadn't picked it up so far, joy in thankful times. And as we heard Nick read, that's looking at the topic from the perspective of Psalm 30. To be honest, I feel like there's a certain sense of irony in talking about joy. Because if you ask my family which of these two characters was most like me, I'm pretty certain I know which one they'd pick. And he's not yellow. But as anyone who stands up here and speaks will tell you, it's usually the case that the person who most needs to hear what God is saying is the one who's doing the actual speaking in the first place. So for the next 15 minutes, I invite you to listen in as I talk to Mr. Grumpy about joy. Hopefully by now you've realised that I always try and squeeze in a little film reference into a sermon, and this time round it was particularly easy because this was the first thing I thought of when I heard of the title of the talk. This has got to be one of my favourite films of the last few years. And no matter how many times I've watched it, and I've watched it countless times, I always cry in the same two places. If you've seen it, you might know which two places they are. I don't know if it's Peak Doctor's writing or Michael Giacchino's score or a combination of the both, but it just does what all Pixar films seem to do, and it hits you right in the feels. I think that's particularly apt for this film. So this film is got main characters who are the emotions in an 11-year-old girl's head. For those that don't know, we've got anger. That's the one my children think is me as well. Joy, sadness, disgust, and fear. And they operate this control panel that operates Riley, who is the 11-year-old girl. So Joy is kind of nominally in charge, and she spends all of her time trying to make sure that Riley is happy and that sadness doesn't take over and start operating the control panel. And I don't want to give away any spoilers if you haven't seen the film, but by the end of the film, Joy kind of realises that actually life is a little bit more complicated than just trying to be happy all the time, and that our life-defining moments tend to be made up of a mixture of emotions. And it is possible for sadness and for joy to coexist without life going catastrophically wrong. If you haven't yet seen Inside Out, please go and watch it immediately, or at least after the service. But we're not here to talk about films. Well, we are, because I always talk about films, but we're not here to talk just about films. We're looking at Psalm 30. And if you look in your Bibles, the church Bibles, which is the NIV version, this psalm is headed a psalm, a song for the dedication of the temple of David, which I find quite an interesting heading, because firstly, the psalm doesn't really talk about the temple, or it doesn't appear to. And secondly, David wasn't actually even alive when the temple was dedicated. Go figure. Maybe he wrote it beforehand. I don't know. The King James Version has a slightly different heading. It says, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. So whether it's the dedication of the temple or the dedication of David's house, I don't think it really matters. The point is that David was dedicating something to God, whether it's his house or his temple. It was a dedication, and that's the theme of this psalm. And we're going to come back to that a little bit later on, so bear that in mind as we go through. So just like Joy's journey throughout Inside Out, this psalm is a little bit of a roller coaster. This is my terrible picture of a roller coaster. It's probably here. That's a pretty scary roller coaster. I don't know quite what would happen when you hit that bottom. It'd probably crash. But imagine it's a roller coaster. So the psalm starts off reflecting on David's life before the psalm. And as Claire pointed out, that bit, the beginning, that's all in the past tense. But that was a low point in David's life. He was always under threat from Saul, but in verses 1 to 3, David thanks God for three things. He thanks him for deliverance from his enemies, he thanks him for answering his prayers, and he thanks him for rescuing him from impending death. And then we're on this kind of upward slope. So we carry on and upward, and in verses 4 to 5, he calls on God's faithful people to join with him in praising God for all that he's done. Perhaps that's the little bit that references the temple. Who knows? But it's basically calling on people to worship God. Then it all starts to go a little bit wrong. In verse 6, David starts to boast. In the ESV, it reads this. It says, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. David kind of forgets that his position of security, his position of prosperity, it's actually all down to God rather than of his own making. And that causes God to hide his face from David in verse 7. So we're on this downward slope now. Back down the slope, and David is seemingly close to death, and he cries out to God for help. And in verses 8 to 10, that's kind of the bottom of that slope. And God responds by turning wailing into dancing and replacing sackcloth with joy. He says, so that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. David ends the psalm, thankfully on an upward. He ends the psalm with this realization that he needs to keep on praising God forever, forever. He needs to give thanks at all times. What I find interesting is the point at which David says he's being clothed with joy. It comes right near the end of the psalm, and it's after he cries out to God. After he's kind of changed his attitude from, hey, look how great I am, to acknowledging that everything he has is a gift from God. In verse 5, he says that weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Throughout the Psalms, this idea of night followed by morning is, it's almost a kind of a metaphor for the time when God intervenes, or when those who are in difficulty, kind of in the darkness, in the night, they see God coming and working within that dawn of that realization. So here in this psalm, joy isn't a consequence of circumstance, it's a consequence of acknowledging God. Acknowledging all he has done for us, all he has given to us, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. There's a verse about joy that's often quoted, and actually we had it right at the beginning of our service. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's actually only part of a verse, and it comes from Nehemiah 8, and it's verses 9 and 10, which read this. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So this is in Nehemiah, obviously, and what's happened is the Israelites have returned from exile, and Ezra, who's the priest, has been reading out the book of the law out loud to the whole congregation as they listened. And their response initially was sorrow, as they kind of suddenly felt the full weight of their sin and the whole burden of why they've been in exile in the first place. But Nehemiah encourages them to celebrate and to be joyful in all that God has done for them in bringing them back to Israel. In this passage, it's actually God who's joyful first. It's the joy of the Lord, not joy in the Lord. God is the one who's rejoicing. He's rejoicing that over those who've come back to him. This nation who he exiled have actually come back to him, and God's rejoicing about that. And that response that he gives, rather than bringing condemnation on them and making them feel bad, actually gives them then the strength to accept his gift of love and grace towards them. Their circumstances haven't changed. Their perspective of God has. As they acknowledge him, he gives them strength to turn their sorrow into joy through thankfulness. The way that God's rejoicing there on the return of Israel reminds me of those stories that Jesus tells in Luke 15. You've got the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost or the prodigal son. So each of those stories ends kind of in the same way. You've got the lost thing is found and it ends with joy and thankfulness. And elsewhere in the New Testament we look at joy and we see a story of joy irrespective of circumstance. I'm going to jump about a little bit in scripture here, so maybe don't try and follow me, but if you would like to know what they are, I'll tell you later. So James 1:2 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. 2 Corinthians 7:4, I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6, 4-10. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonour, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Joy here then is a gift of the Holy Spirit and has nothing to do with circumstance and everything to do with acknowledging God and all he does for us. I've recently been reading this book, which is The Widening Circle by Graham Tomlin, and it's all about Christ's role as high priest and how that kind of plays out in humanity and in the church. And there's a chapter about how, as humans, humanity has this priestly responsibility towards creation, to nurture it and to protect it. And it says this on page 85. And I'm not going to read it in there because it's too small and I haven't got my glasses. It says, the key to the sanctifying of creation is thanksgiving. When we say grace before a meal, for example, it is as if that act turns an ordinary piece of food into a sacred gift from God. It is said to be consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Literally, the word is hagiazetai, if my Greek pronunciation is correct, made holy. It is reconnected with God, as it were. Thanksgiving turns an object into a gift, something ordinary into something holy. That brings us back round to this kind of topic of dedication that we saw at the beginning. Right at the beginning of that psalm, it says that the psalm is headed either as this dedication for the temple or for David's house. And when we dedicate something, we give thanks for it. Grace before a meal is in a way a dedication of that meal that we're about to eat. It's acknowledging that it comes from God. I love the idea of turning something ordinary into something holy simply by thanking God for it. And that seems to be the lesson that David learns by the end of this psalm. He says, Lord my God, I will praise you forever. The ESV reads, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So rather than dedicating the temple or David's house, what if our response to this psalm is to dedicate our lives, our bodies as the temple of the Holy Spirit, as Corinthians puts it? And that in that dedication we make a commitment to thankfulness in all circumstances. We can't avoid the roller coaster of life, but we can experience joy throughout it. At the heights, we give glory to God for all that he's done. And in the lows, we thank him anyway and trust that he's in control. Just like joy learns in Inside Out, our life can't be highs all the time. And in fact, it's that mixture of highs and lows that make up our kind of our core memories, as the film puts it, our key experiences. Psalm 30 then urges us to dedicate our lives fully to God, to be thankful to God wherever we are on the roller coaster, whether we're on the mountaintop or at the bottom of a valley. That's the key to experiencing joy in all circumstances. Give thanks to God in all circumstances and find joy in our thankfulness. So the question really is how do we respond to that? And that's down to you. That's down to what you want to take from that, how you feel God has spoken to you. There's a couple of thoughts we had as we were praying earlier. One is that you might want to spend some time in almost dedicating your life to God. And maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never given your life to God and you want to take the opportunity this morning to dedicate your life to him. And at the end of the service, there'll be people here to pray with you if you want to do that. Perhaps you want to recommit, rededicate. But we're going to move on to communion in a moment. And actually, that's a really good time to practice thankfulness. It's a reminder of all that Jesus has done for us, and we can spend time thanking him for that. We can thank him for his presence with us as we take communion. And so we're going to move on into a short time of worship. It's a quieter kind of reflective time. So as we do that, let's spend time thanking God, and then Helen will bring communion to us.
Thank you for saying. thanksgiving. Thanksgiving takes the ordinary things of life and turns them into a gift. And Jesus took bread and wine, the ordinary everyday things, and said, remember my sacrifice as you eat. Remember my body, my blood given for you. And in that we rejoice this morning. And so the Lord is with us. The Lord, his Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. We'd like to invite everybody who loves our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come to the table today. This might be your first time. Maybe this is the first time that you felt you really want to dedicate your life to Jesus, to this God who gave everything for us. Don't be afraid. Jesus welcomes all who come to him in faith. There will be bread and wine available at the back and at the front of the building. And if you prefer to have a gluten-free wafer or non-alcoholic wine, then that will be available at the front only. But our welcomers, our stewards, will help you to see where you should go in the building, and there'll be somebody at the back and someone at the front. So if those people who are helping with communion would like to come to the front, that would be great, and we'll take it from there.
Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has.
Be
Together we say, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
So we're going to finish with a song of thankfulness. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Would you like to all stand?
Service. It may be that you need to accept the gift of joy again or for the first time. It may be that you need to reconnect with God or to connect for the first time. And there's coffee in the hall as well, and do talk to others. And for those of you who are going to Who's Coming to Lunch, enjoy. So, the blessing. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We will seek love and joy and peace and pursue them. In the name of Christ. Amen.